Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy, Rude Dog Reyes, on the RudeDogShow.com. You know, this afternoon, and I don't typically interview during the year, unless it's a Steeler, but these guys are headed into a mini camp, and I had the pleasure of interviewing a gentleman who is on a list. He needs to be on every NFL's list, every NFL team's lookout point, and point in his direction, and we're talking about Javier Arenas. Welcome, Javier, to the show. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. I do this on a short notice because, well, people need to know who you are. They need to know where you've been. They need to know where you're going and what you're doing to get to that point. Moving into a free agency year for you, last year you had the ability to play with some pretty interesting teams, namely Kansas City, Atlanta, as well as Arizona. Tell me about what you're doing right now in free agency and how are you preparing yourself, staying in tune with what you know you have to do if a team happens to call you and say, hey, Javier, what you got? You know, we need this guy, we need that guy. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, I will use the term staying in shape, but I don't think that'll do it justice. You know, I'm expecting a call, so, you know, each day I'm training, you know, as if, you know, I'm training with a team. What teams will be doing in OTAs, or not, OTAs and off-season training, you know what I mean? And some, just so I know, you know, once I get that call, I could just merge into the process, you know, wherever it is I land. Training down here in Tampa, which is where I'm from, you know, obviously it's a comfort zone for me in terms of, you know, having the right mindset and that feeling when I was younger, playing ball and that inspiration. But it's a day-by-day process for me as far as working out, grinding, and, you know, you're expecting that phone call.
Yeah, definitely. You know, looking at your career stats, starting in 2010, 2011, 12, and then 13 when you were with Arizona, you didn't do bad at all in Arizona. To be honest with you, that was probably one of those, you know, comeback player of the year type of secondary play from you. And then you go to Atlanta, and then somehow something just dropped off. Something happened. I mean, was it not the system for you? You know, what is your ideal system that will match your physicality and your mindset as well as your work ethic?
The ideal system is, me utilizing me from the aspect of, you know, me blitzing, mixing in coverages and not molding the defense to me by any means, but me landing in the position and with the team that does those very things. When I say mix up coverages, you know, from a zone to a man, and I was always great at, you know, disguising, which kind of plays into I feel like a great anticipatory skills, you know what I mean? Things like that. In Atlanta, I would say, you know, I just didn't fit the scheme. You know, I felt like when I got there, yeah, I played well during OTAs, performed great during training camp. And, you know, it just didn't work out for me as far as, you know, who they wanted, you know, to be the starter at the nickel position in particular. If you ask me, you know, I should have been that guy, but no one asked me, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just got to go out there and do what my job description is, basically, you know what I mean? But to answer your question, you know, well, the reason why I got drafted is because I would make tackle for losses. You know, I could pressure the quarterback. I was physical at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, I could do those things, and I still can't do those things. I think that's what I bring to a team, as well as my physical nature and being a great tackle, you know, no matter what it is. In tight space, open field, you know, it really don't matter.
Right. No, and, you know, you have a solid point there. To go back to the teams that you were on, you know, sometimes the player fits the system. Sometimes the system does not fit the player, whether it be in the locker room, whether it be leadership, whether it be coaching. There's so many different aspects to what you can do versus what you know you can do. So you have people saying you can do this and this and the other, but you're going to base that upon what you know you can do and not necessarily rely on others to tell you what you already know. I mean, looking at the actual production in 2010, you had 16 games played. You had 43 combined tackles, total of 36. I mean, you had three sacks, two forced fumbles. You did your job and then some. Production was still high for you, though, moving on through to 2012, and I think a lot of it has to do with Andy Reid coming from Philadelphia from that system and wanted somebody to fit his system. Same thing with now Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, you know, has been releasing people left and right. Curtis Mathis, just as an example. You know, there's a lot of players that don't fit those systems. And moving to Arizona, again, your production was still there. You did your job. Looking back momentarily, for example, 2012, you had 53 solo tackles, one forced fumble, 16 games played, 240 yards in kickoff returns, 297 yards in punt returns on special teams. I mean, surely that would have landed you on the roster for the following year. I don't understand why they would have said, you know what, this guy has got high production. You know, let's keep him for another 2 years, assign another 2-year extension or redo your deal, which they seem to do with a lot of people. You were 50th overall in the 2010 NFL draft. You signed a 4-year, $3.798 million contract with the Chiefs. And then you showed up against Oakland. I remember that game. You were polished. You had two interceptions, 33 tackles, one sack, and you recovered a fumble in the Chiefs and Steelers game. I remember that game, man. I was like, come on, fumble it. You're playing the Steelers. Yeah. Come on, fumble that thing. No, but you've done some awesome things. Not only were you a track star in high school, you had 22.9 in the 400-meter dash. I mean, you were on your way to being a track star and got deterred to get into the NFL after college when you attended University of Alabama. I mean, tell me about your time at Alabama. I mean, what were those key components that enabled you to find your zone moving forward when you got drafted by the Chiefs?
Yeah, again, I think it goes back to talking about fit, your fit. When Coach Saban got there, I think he saw a lot of him in me, being a smaller guy, a tougher guy, and a lot of people telling you what you can and can't do because of your size. Mm-hmm. And I knew he felt that way, and so I took advantage of it. You know, I just zoned in. I saw the opportunities that he laid out for me, and when I say opportunities, meaning those things that I just spoke with you about that I could do good, like blitz, how I'm physical, how I can tackle. His defense was set up to utilize me in that way, you know, from the nickel position. So it was somewhat easy to be focused because everything that I was asked to do was like almost second nature to me. It was my strengths. You know what I mean? Going to the league, that's not the case. You know, and it shouldn't be, to be completely honest with you, because you know, we're professionals. We get paid. Whatever we're asked to do, we should, you know, be able to handle it. And if we can't, find a way to get it done. You know what I mean? But, you know, Bama college obviously is different from the NFL. And, you know, that zone that I was in, at that point in time, you know, to be of some assistance to help us get that national championship ring, I was just in my fit, man. Everything, I was so comfortable. I can disguise any way I wanted to, you know, without a coach thinking I'm not sure what I'm doing. And when I say coach, you mean the coach on our sideline, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with the coaches having confidence in you. But that was just a great fit, you know?
Definitely a great fit. You moved onwards to really show the coaching staff in Kansas City your ability to be multidimensional, multifaceted, somebody who they know is going to get to that line and make something happen, or in their respective role, do exactly what they know they need to do based on the scheme, nickel, sub-nickel, you know, it doesn't really matter. You seem to show that consistently. And so now we're in this mini camp in the NFL. You're doing mini camp type exercises. You're keeping it real. You're keeping the mindset very, very open to somebody to call you and say, hey, look, we need you. You were talking about physicality. You're talking about size and height. You know, to be honest with you, people like Senquez Golson got drafted out of Ole Miss. He's not struggling at all. As a matter of fact, he's probably one of the better ball hawking corners in this past draft. Great guy, great conversationalist. I didn't have the pleasure of interviewing. Maybe I will when I get to Steeler training camp this year. But just a very watchful eye from Senquez Golson. Not the tallest. People were questioning his draft, saying, look, not tall enough, not big enough, not enough of a competitor, which is completely the opposite. The guy's a competitor to the bone. I mean, you don't play for Ole Miss in the secondary because you're a slacker. You do it because you know your role, because you know what you got to do, and you execute and you get it done. Same thing to be said of you. I see a lot of you in Senquez Golson in that the undersized, but still getting it done. Undersized, being said, you can't do this, you can't do that, yet you find a way to get it done, and you do it consistently. So any scouts out there, anybody looking for a solid secondary player, anybody looking for someone who's a leader in the locker room, outside the locker room, in the community, you got it. He's on the line now, and it's Javier Arenas. Bottom line, end of story, end of day. So, you know, looking forward, and I know that you're not an avid track runner, but have you been using those athletic skills during your free agency to continue being sharpened? I mean, you find ways to do something different to diversify what you're doing to make yourself get even better, to become better as each practice goes on?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. That's something I've always been good at for some reason. And I think that, you know, that's the reason, you know, that I made it to where I am today, being a five-year NFL vet. The things that I'm doing now are the things that I hear people, and when I say people, scouts, coaches, whoever it may be, respectable analysts, they say that I can't do. You know what I mean? A lot of people say that my ball skills aren't that sharp. Well, you know, I'm working on that. You know, I got, of course, I don't have a guy like Julio Jones to access, you know, to use those drills, but I have guys who come down and or who are from here in college, young college receivers, just to get the feel and keep doing those things, jump balls and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe coming out of my break and pushing a sled. When I say coming out of my break, coming out of my back pedal and pushing a sled so I can emphasize after you plant that foot and you come out your break, it ain't just a 2 or 3 step drive. It's going to get beat the receiver to the ball. You know, things like that. Knowing that I'm going to be used on special teams as well, you know, I do special team things such as, like last year in Atlanta, I was asked, you know, to play a front line on kickoff return, you know, which is something I've never done before. I've always been a returner. But, you know, we had Devin Hester, rightfully so. He was back there. So knowing that I could be asked to do things like that again, you know, when I'm out there, I'm doing things like that. You know, I'm running down. I got somebody running at me as if, you know, they're on kickoff, and I'm getting in position and coming back at them and driving my feet. So things that I know that I'm going to be asked to do, I'm doing them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Over and over and over and over. So it's second nature when it comes time.
Right. Sometimes, you know, we can go to sleep and wake up and think about, did we forget to do this? Or did we leave it all out on the field? Is there something I could be doing differently? You seem to be, again, I hate to use this word over again, but you're diversifying, and the types of diversification you're doing right now, exercise routines, eating right, staying fit, staying healthy, doing your cardio, knowing when to relax, I think has a lot to do with how players become overworked. What do you do to unwind, to just kind of say, you know what, I've done what I have to do, I know when to take a break. If the coaches are calling me out and saying, look, you need to kind of chill out and not work so hard, what do you do to unwind?
Well, it might sound a little cliche, but, you know, outside of, you know, taking an Epsom bath or, you know, icing, I spend a lot of time with my daughter. I'm a young father, obviously, man, and I got a 2.5-year-old, and you're spending time with her, and if I'm not working, like you just said, if I'm not, you know, out trying to make myself better, you know, within my craft, I feel weird almost. You know what I mean? So I mean, my mind has to be going. I have to be doing something. So I just, you could call it unwinding, but the time I spend with my daughter, I'm finding a way to make her more advanced, you know, intellectually, and just, you know, a better young lady, you know what I mean? She's only 2 years old, but when I have that free time, you know, like I do, like today, you know, I had a shorter workout, I spend that time with her, and I try to help her out, and, you know, just be a father to her, a father I never had, you know what I mean? So that's how I unwind, just, you know, relaxing with her, and of course, my significant other, you know, just, I don't get out too much, I don't run the streets too, and that's not to say it just to say it, I just really don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to be at home with the family, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it can be always understated that what you're doing off the field is equally as important as the things that you do on the field, because maturity comes in different forms. Maturity comes when you have someone saying, you know, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, but then you look in your daughter's eyes and you're everything. You're everything to all of your kids, one kid, two kids, three kids, it doesn't matter. You're everything to them, which gives you a sense of accomplishment. You know, you may or may not reach the pinnacle of what your career is. I hope you do, because that will, in your daughter's eyes, and any future children that you may have, and I'm kind of a young dad myself, sort of, but when you can keep yourself on an even keel, knowing when to work out, knowing when to relax, being able to separate work from play makes you that much more rich at heart. That enables your children to do the same thing.
You're absolutely right. And not to disagree with you on that, because, you know, that is exactly how we should go. But sometimes I can overwork, but that's just who I am. I feel like, man, I'm just built strong. And so when you say, when people tell you what you can't do, and you look into your daughter's eyes and you realize that you're everything, you know, to her, I keep the two separate when it comes to that. When you can't tell me what I can, when you tell me what I can't do, like, it's almost, I'm going to laugh in my head, and I'm going to show your ass. You know what I mean? Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I just take it real personal. So you're exactly right when you talk about the profession and family or kids or relation, and as far as, you know, using that to unwind or take time off or relax when that time comes. And that's what I try to do, too, because, like, it's the right thing to do. It's the most beneficial thing to do. It's a healthy thing to do, physically and mentally. But sometimes I get a little hard-headed, and I want to overwork. So when someone tells me I can't do something, like, I love going after it. I love, you know, attacking it, you know what I mean? Because I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. That's just the bottom line.
Right.
So you're exactly right. But my stubbornness makes me a little 50-50, you know, to that, if that makes sense.
Right, no, it definitely does. We're all stubborn by nature. Sometimes being able to drop it down or you know, take it down a notch to say, okay, now I can breathe. You know, there's certain times where you're going over the top, you know, you're always moving at 150 miles an hour and you forget to breathe. You know, it's just one of those things where you can never get too much of a good thing unless you overindulge in that good thing. And right now you've done great things, not only off the field, but you're doing great things now, not only being a dad, but, you know, refining your craft, finding the areas that you know you need to work on and improving on those areas, from ball hawking to yards to footwork. I mean, you're basically in a discovery mode to not only make yourself better, but discover the things that you weren't good in and make it even better for yourself in the long term. So again, any scouts out there, any NFL teams looking for a guy who can put on a show and his actions followed by words and words followed by actions, you can't get any better than Javier Arenas. That's all there is to it. That's all I got to say about that. Javier, thank you so much for being with me today, for spending your time talking openly about, you know, the things that you have going on, what you're doing to get better, to be better, not only as a player on the field trying to get onto an NFL roster, but as a dad as well. And I think that characteristically speaking, you got it. You got it. You really
thank
do.
You, man. Thank you very much, man. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you bringing me onto the show, and I appreciate the opportunity. So thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Javier Arenas, and Rudy Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com.